I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with artist photographer Julie Sims. Julie, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I am happy to have you in today, and I want to start off with maybe where you're headed, because you are an artist photographer. We can get into that, but what are you interested in right now outside of that?
Outside of my art practice, do
well,
you
mean? We talked a tad bit about some other disciplines that you're trying to embrace in your art making. So what else is sort of tickling your fancy right now?
Well, I started out probably 20 years ago as a sculptor and, you know, spent a while kind of got away from my creativity and my art and then came back into it through photography. And so as I sort of pursued photography deeper, what came about was that the sculpture resurfaced. And I started incorporating sculpture into my photography via constructing sets. And so another thing that I've found that I'm interested in is sort of incorporating, you know, drawn elements or you know, just different ways that I can bring in different things, because there's a lot about photography that's very sort of deliberate, and you know, there's the technical ends of it, and so I like having, you know, I like working with my hands and kind of having that meditative state that that side of artwork brings. So that was why I got into the sculpture. And then, you know, I've been wanting to get back more toward drawing, because I was really terrible at drawing and painting when I was in school in my early 20s. And I guess I feel like if there's something I'm bad at, I kind of want to do it just to see if I can get better or if I can work through that, or, you know, just I don't necessarily like to just give up on a thing and say, oh, well, that's not me, because if I can find a way to convert being bad at it into something that I can use, then that's interesting to me.
And what is that process like when you talk about integrating other elements into your photography? What is that process of exploring what that looks like or what that feels like for you as an artist?
Well, with the drawing, really, that kind of came about of I was making an artist book for one of my projects, and so I wanted to draw a map because I'm really interested in maps, and that forced me to kind of revive those skills and do some things that I hadn't done in a long time. And part of the artist book that I did involved getting out a big piece of paper and some charcoal and just kind of like scribbling with really like broad gestures and just kind of abandonment, because I was trying to make a very kind of chaotic drawing. And I realized as I did it that I liked how that made me feel. Like, I liked that process and the sort of freedom that I felt when I was, you know, not caring what it looked like because I didn't have to. So one thing that I've always kind of envied about people who do draw really well, I like line quality a lot. And there's a particular thing that I think of as line quality. And a lot of times when I draw, because I'm trying to draw better, I get kind of tense and really precise with it. And so I wanted to come back around and see how I could maybe work some of that greater sense of freedom into drawing. And so I was really just kind of practicing in a sketchbook at night before bed, almost as a meditation. I would just kind of draw lines, things that would look like topography lines or that kind of thing, because my sculptural sets deal with landscapes. And I, you know, was kind of thinking about that. So those elements were working into my drawings, but not in any necessarily really preconceived way. I was just mainly doing it for the motion and the repetitive sort of relaxation that it brought.
You mentioned that you were able to explore without caring what people thought, because it was more for your own relaxation or the process of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you create for you, or do you create with some sense of, I want people to see this thing?
At the root of it, I would say that it's for me, because my need to make art is what drives me to make art. There's not, you know, often being an artist is a pretty thankless task in terms of, you know, audience for your work, definitely in terms of any kind of financial compensation. So if you're not doing it because you want to do it, then you're in trouble from the start. At the same time, I don't think you can, as an artist, you're trying to communicate with people. I mean, otherwise you just make it and keep it in your garage or your basement and you don't ever show it to anybody. So you have that, you have the need to make it for yourself, but you also have the need to say something, to kind of communicate something. So I try to, at the root, remain true to my own motivations and my own urges and the reason that I'm making it in the first place. At the same time, I do try to think about how, you know, how it might be received, what it's saying, what is it that I'm putting out there. But then, you know, there's also the extra realization that once it's out there, it kind of takes on a life of its own and you can't control how people are going to see it. You might try to guide that or set up clues or, you know, provide the things that you're thinking about as a framework, but you do have to kind of let go and realize that that work's going to go out and people are going to have their own relationships with it, and that relationship might not be what your relationship is or even one that you thought of or intended. And that's also okay if people are responding to the work.
When you're not engaging directly in your art making, what are you thinking about? What are you pondering, or what is inspiring you in general?
A big thing that my work is about, even across all the different kinds of work that I do, is sort of reality and the way that we perceive and manufacture reality as we kind of go along. I don't have a real strong belief in this sort of, you know, concrete, you know, I think a lot of how we perceive the world and a lot of the things that we think are kind of come internally. You know, we process visual and auditory data in our brains and, you know, our past experiences, our mental states, you know, all these things are going to color how we see a thing. And, you know, even when we see, we don't always really see, which, you know, is why we make such terrible witnesses to crime, because we see a thing, but we kind of, you know, see a little bit of it and our brains fill in the rest. And so, you know, we're supplying a lot of details about what we think from within ourselves. And so really I'm kind of always thinking about those sorts of things in terms of, you know, what's real, what's not real, you know, evaluating my reactions to things, whether it's, you know, an artwork or a tricky business situation. And so, you know, I'm always trying to, I guess, step outside of myself and to try to see myself and my world not from within myself, which of course is impossible, but it provides basically an endless amount of work to do.
You are a 2013-2014 Wonderoot Walthall Artist Fellow, and these types of conversations about art and philosophy and reality seem to be conversations that artists may have all the time with each other about their work in the world. How has being a part of this new collective group of artists influenced how you see your own work, or how you see the work of others, or the art world around you now?
Well, as we were kind of talking about when we were setting up, getting back to a peer group was something that I was really, you know, looking for, and one of the main reasons why I applied to this fellowship. Because artists, you know, once you get outside of the school environment, it becomes a lot more difficult to maintain any kind of coherent peer group, or at least for me it has. I live in the suburbs, you know, so it's, you know, different than I guess maybe people who live directly in an artist community. And I don't have a studio in a studio building like the Contemporary or any of the other various studios where I have that exposure just incidentally. So, and then, you know, work life and owning a business also makes it additionally difficult. So there's always that tension between, you have to make a living. You have a limited amount of time to make your work, and you have to go out and socialize. And so it's almost like three different areas of work that you have to do, and it can be really hard to kind of keep all those balls in the air. So for me, I was looking at this as a way to provide a sort of structured opportunity to interact with my peers and to talk about art and to, you know, have those kind of conversations that, yeah, I'd been having, you know, one here, one there when I'd see friends of mine or whatever. But, you know, you go to shows and the openings are loud and noisy and you talk about the art and you're not necessarily having a deep philosophical conversation at a gallery opening.
You are one of the rare Atlanta / Georgia natives, and I'm happy to always meet another one of those. How has the Atlanta art community changed in your eyes as you've seen it over the past, I don't know, 5-10 years?
Well, it seems to me that Atlanta is, you know, really always trying to, I don't know that it's, I feel like it's changed drastically in my experience, because my specific art world in Atlanta experience doesn't go back hugely far, not nearly as far as some other people's. But it seems that there's this kind of constant drive to, you know, really make that more important in Atlanta as a, you know, a cultural thing, and, you know, bring it more into the minds of people, and to, you know, really stake out a place in Atlanta for the arts, because there's, you know, so much growth and so much opportunity here, and there's so many people, but everything's kind of so fragmented. And so there's not really, you know, a cohesive center of art here. And so I feel like, you know, we're all constantly pushing to, you know, bring that more to the attention, you know, like today with the cuts and getting all that diverted. And so that was, you know, a good thing. But at the same time, I feel like, didn't we just go through that? You know, didn't everybody have to go down and talk to their council peoples about not cutting the funding just last year? And so in a lot of ways, I feel like we kind of fight the same battles over and over and over again. And from my perspective, and since I'm not, you know, as much on the administrative end of things and seeing how all that goes, I don't necessarily know whether we're gaining ground or losing ground or just kind of holding on. But my hope is that, you know, I know that the mayor has been interested in talking about turning underground into more of an arts destination. And that's, you know, those are things I think could be really good for Atlanta, because, you know, other than some sports and some strip clubs, there's not a lot here to come here as a destination. You know, for a long time, we were the convention town. And so I think, you know, we don't really have a good identity for Atlanta, and that, you know, obviously, I guess I'm biased, but, you know, arts wouldn't be a bad place to start. And there's a lot of room for that here. So I really do hope that, you know, all the people who are working so hard out there to push that forward, you know, keep doing that. And we as artists keep trying to make our art and trying to find a way to make a living in Atlanta and to stay here and not have to go someplace else. and so, you know, I think that's a viable thing.
Well, Julie, as we wrap up, you do live in the suburbs, so we can expand this to beyond Atlanta proper and go beyond 285. Give me two places or three in Atlanta or the metro area that really inspire you as an artist.
I don't necessarily know that there are specific places that inspire me. You know, there's kind of, I guess, groups of people and, you know, happenings that kind of coalesce and break up and diverge. One of the other Walthall fellows, Nathan Sherratt's been having critique groups at his studio at the Atlanta Contemporary. And so that for me currently is a place that inspires me. I get to go talk to other artists and see what they're making. And so, you know, that's really been a valuable experience for me, especially as we've been starting the fellowship. So right now I have, I would say two of them would be being in the fellowship and having those critique groups. you know, beyond that, I think it's just you know, the chance to sort of get out. We have a lot of, you know, places where you can just kind of go walk in the woods and experience some nature, which, you know, maybe other big cities don't have as much of that. But, you know, we do have a lot of still, you know, nature right around us. And that's always a good chance to kind of unplug and get out there and just kind of let your mind roam free. So that's also something that I like to do, is go for walks and just stare at the trees.
Well, Julie Sims, as we close up, let everyone know how they can find out more about your work and more about you.
My website is lensideout.com, which is lensideout.com. And that pretty much has all the places around the internet that I am. Links to, you know, my Flickr and my Tumblr and various other places like that. So that would be the one stop to figure out where to track me down all over the place.
Artist photographer Julie Sims, thank you so much.
Thank you.